Okay. Well, we've been walking our way through a very important passage, John 15, 1 through 17. And the theme is abiding in Christ. And we're seeing that really so much of the Christian life depends upon our learning how to abide in Christ. I mean, just a few things here. I think we got a slide here. Bearing fruit. Actually, this passage says that unless we abide in Him, we will bear no fruit. You know? And bearing fruit is our calling. Also, we've talked in the last 6 months quite a bit about prayer, especially mountain-moving prayer. The prayer that when, you know, that if you ask God to do something, even if it means moving a mountain, it shall be done for you. Well, this is one of those places it talks about, like in verse 7. And it says, whatever we ask, whatever we need, especially in regard to our calling here on earth, and He will do it. What a promise. Last week we talked about abiding in His love. When we abide in Him, we also abide in His love. So these are just some of the part of the fruit or the benefits that come from abiding in Him. And today we want to add one more, and that is joy. We just want to look at one verse today, verse 11, chapter 15, verse 11. These things, all the things He's talked about abiding in Christ, that is, these things I've spoken to you, why? So that My joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Very simply, joy comes from abiding in Christ. How so? Because it's His joy that flows into us and actually through us. Remember the illustration that He's been using here is the vine and the branches. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. And the vine brings life, doesn't it, into the branches. So if we're connected to Him, as the branches to the vine, then His life, including His joy, will flow into us. And that's His desire, that our joy, it says, may be made full, because He fills us with His joy. Now, I like that phrase, joy may be full, because He's not talking about an occasional tasting. But He's talking about our joy being made full. Like a vessel, in fact, the picture there is like a vessel that's overflowing. Our lives are supposed to be overflowing with joy. That's God's desire. That's God's desire for us. That's His will. That's His plan for us. And it comes through abiding in Him and Him in us. So what is joy? Maybe we should kind of talk about that in a few minutes. First of all, joy is more than happiness. Joy is something that comes from within a person, deep down. Joy is something that's not limited by circumstances or how we feel or our various moods. Happiness usually is, isn't it? It's dependent upon my moods and my circumstances. True joy is deeply rooted inside of us. It's also something full of life. It's not stagnant. In fact, it's something, I kind of picture it, something like bubbling water. It's that maybe even more than bubbling water, something that starts kind of gushing out like a fountain. In fact, in Proverbs, especially in some in the Psalms, it talks a lot about a fountain of life. And often, when it talks about it, either before or afterwards, it talks about the joy, because joy is part of life. Joy is something that's highly contagious. And it brings peace and calmness to all those around. Remember when King Saul, he was plagued with an evil spirit. And there's only one thing that could take care of that evil spirit. What was it? David, when he would come and start playing his harp, probably songs of joy, all of a sudden, that evil spirit would depart. Proverbs 16 talks about a joyful heart is good medicine to ourselves and to all those around us. Nehemiah chapter 8 talks about how the joy of the Lord is what? Who knows that? Is our strength, right? So the joy of the Lord, it's like medicine, it's our strength, it brings calmness, it brings peace. On the other hand, the opposite of joy would be what? Grumbling, complaining, being moody, bitterness, resentment, harshness, unforgiveness. Those are things that bring gloom and death. But for Christians, we actually have a choice which way we want to live. We can either live that way, or we can live a life of joy. Now, that's not true. Not everyone has that choice. But we as Christians do. Joy is also very closely associated with the Holy Spirit. Romans 14:17. It says, "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's part of the kingdom of God. Or how about Acts 13:52? I mean, I love this verse because it describes the early church and the early disciples. And it says, "And the disciples were continually filled." That means if something just continually happened. They were filled and overflowing with joy and with the Holy Spirit. They're connected. See, here's the thing. True joy comes only from abiding in Christ. There is no other way. Now, the world seeks happiness. We all, in fact, they might seek happiness more than anything else. Now, notice I said happiness, not joy, because joy, it seems to be almost too far out there. You know, it's almost unattainable for a lot of people. But people want happiness. The problem is that happiness is temporary at the best. It's like a mirage. You know what a mirage is, don't you? I mean, I used to live near El Paso, Texas, out in the desert growing up. And when you would be on a straight road somewhere, all of a sudden it looked like way up there, there was like the road was covered with water. But once you got there, what happened? It disappeared. Actually, we've all seen the cartoons, haven't we? Where someone's going through the desert and they look out, and usually they see a swimming pool and some drinks and, you know, and a diving board and stuff like that. And they start running to it, and then they start diving to it. And what happens? They just dive into the sand because it's a mirage. And that's the way happiness is. It's like a mirage. You can't, yeah, there's maybe occasional bursts of happiness that people have, but it's usually the pursuit of happiness leads to disappointment. And yet people are seeking happiness. They do it through romance and relationships. If I had a wife, or if I had a husband, I would truly be happy. Or money. If I had more of it, I know that would make me happy. I could buy a nicer car, or maybe a first car. I could buy a bigger house. I could go on vacation. Money, that would make me happy. But you know what? It doesn't. I've talked to people who've made a lot of money before. And you know what? They're not any happier than you are. Power and influence. Some people feel like if everyone looks to me, so whether it's in politics or business or social standing, if I have influence, if I have power, that's what's going to make me happy. But you know what? That doesn't make people happy. There's knowledge and education. Let me get another degree. Let me get another one. Let me kind of learn more. Will that help? No. I mean, that can satisfy some aspects of us, but it doesn't really satisfy our soul. And then, of course, people do sports and hobbies. You know, for hobbies, it's different probably, you know, for guys that might be working on cars or hunting and fishing. For some people, it's cooking and crafts, you know, but there's sports, hobbies, adventure, travel. But you know what? Those things don't really make a person happy outside of maybe just a short burst of happiness. And then there's the letdown. There's all sorts of pleasure. I mean, from parties, the vacation, for some people it's video games. And you know, people pay large amounts of money to find happiness. But the problem is, happiness is temporary at the best, because it's dependent upon circumstances. So when the circumstances are great, you feel happy, but even then there's a fear that it's going to change, because it will change. You know, you could go back from vacation. You know, you're going to, the car's going to get dirty. You know, it's going to get banged up sometime. And, you know, it's just everything's temporary. Now, joy, on the other hand, is different, because it's something that is permanent. It's something that stays, it's deeply rooted inside of us. And it flows out of us. Now, what's really sad, sadder than people chasing after happiness everywhere, is Christians chasing happiness, because they have the keys to true joy. And yet many Christians, they're kind of just like everyone else in the world, trying to chase happiness. And that's really sad. Let's kind of take this, maybe a step further. Joy is one of those defining characteristics of a disciple of Jesus. There's a few others. Agape love is, we're told in the scriptures, that only people who are born again and who know Jesus can really experience agape love. Same thing with joy. It defines us, or it's supposed to define us. It should be that people say, wow, they sure are joyful. They must be a Christian. That's the way it should be. Actually, in the list of the fruit of the Spirit, in Galatians 5, the first one is love. What's the second one? Joy. And then there's peace and patience and kindness and all those. If we are truly walking in the Spirit or abiding in Him, joy will be a fruit in our lives. Now again, it's going to be His joy. That's what Jesus said there in John 15. Now, I know that it's not always like that among us. We're not always living a joyful life, just like we're maybe not always living a life of agape love. And there's a lot of reasons for it. Maybe we're not walking in the Spirit. We're not abiding in Him. Maybe we're part of a church where there's legalistic teaching, that where Christianity is viewed, or a Christianity that's harsh and critical and judgmental of others. You know, that's not biblical. And it certainly would keep joy away from us. So there's a lot of reasons, but all of us, if we've been truly born again, can learn to abide in Him, and we can begin to have joy that overflows. It's to be a defining characteristic among us. When the church and God's people learn to have joyful lives, and of course holy lives too, but joyful lives, the world will be wanting to know what makes us different. And they'll want to know what we have. And that's probably when we're going to start seeing revival. You know, because we can say all sorts of stuff, but we all know we live in an age where there's information overload. I mean, you can get anything you want online, on the internet. Any news around the world. You can get all sorts of fake news, as it's been talked about quite a bit lately, you know. And so people, when they hear information, like information about the gospel, they just kind of let it go in one ear and out the other. So the message has to be backed up by our lives. And one of those things is joy. Like with agape love, we're not there yet. Maybe we even have a long way to go. But we need to see that God is calling us to joy. It won't happen in our own strength, but only as we learn to abide in Him. Let's look at the message that the angels brought to the shepherds when they announced the arrival of Jesus. Let's look at Luke 2. And let's kind of start in verse 8. And in the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold," and look at this, "I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David," that is Bethlehem, "there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace on earth, with whom He is pleased." But go back to verse 10. It says, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all the people." Even in the announcement of His birth, we hear the promise of great joy, true joy, not just being happy. That's because Jesus brings joy. By the way, that's why, have you ever noticed how many Christmas songs talk about joy? Like, "Joy to the World," or "Good Christian Men Rejoice," or the one we sang, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," this morning I noticed. It said, "Joyful come," I don't know, something or another. But it talks about joy. You know, everyone wants joy. And instinctively, people look for joy and probably happiness, because they don't know the difference, at Christmas time. And by the way, that's why we need to see this as a great opportunity. Instinctively, people know, yeah, that's the one time of the year that joy is talked about. In fact, even a lot of things about Christmas have a note of joy to it. Like even Santa Claus, which isn't even biblical. What does he kind of say? "Ho, ho, ho." You know, he's joyful, right? We say, "Merry Christmas." We're telling people, have a happy, joyful time. You know, Christmas. We say that. Now, I know the world, some people want to kind of cut out Merry Christmas, but I'm glad we live in a state, in a town where I hear much more than Happy Holidays. I hear Merry Christmas. But even Happy Holidays, you know, it's somehow people know deep down that Christmas has to do with joy. But yet it's elusive. See, it's not by celebrating Christmas that we get joy. It's by knowing the person of Jesus Christ and learning to abide in Him. That's because, going back to John 15:11, only as we embrace the truths here in John 15 will we ever know and have true joy. This joy comes from abiding in Him. Then His life or His joy will flow into us and actually through us. Let's read it once more. It says, "These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." And again, the picture is full to the place it's overflowing. touching other people. We can say a lot more about joy. In fact, joy is mentioned all through the scriptures. Probably need to do a series of messages sometimes on joy. It's that important. But let me kind of just back up a little bit. Let me give you an illustration. When we lived in Mexico City back in the 1990s, we had a big cistern in the ground that had a pump on the side of it. In fact, I think we have a little pump right here. Yeah, it looked about like that. Probably didn't look quite that nice. And if those of you who've lived in some parts of Mexico, especially Mexico City, you know that there's a dry season and there's a wet season. In the wet season, it rains almost every day. In the dry season, it never rains. You know, probably for about 5-6 months. You know, that's just the way it is. And so during the wet season, we always had water. But in the dry seasons, the city would only give us water maybe 1 or 2 hours a day. You know, and it would fill up our tanky, what do you call it? Yeah, but the water tanks on top. But what would happen a lot of times, especially when we had a big family, in cooking and people over, all of a sudden we start running out of water. That's why we have the cistern. So we go out to the cistern, and we would have, first of all, we have to prime the pump. We always had a jug of water there to get it primed, and we would put it in there, and all of a sudden we'd start pumping it. And then it would start pumping water from the cistern up to the tank that we could get water during the, for our house, for showers and cooking and stuff like that, you know. So I learned a lot about priming the pump. You have to have at least enough water to do in it. You can't just put a cupful. But priming the pump is often necessary to get things flowing. And the same way with joy. Sometimes you need to prime the pump to get joy kind of going. Praise and worship can do that. And if we had time, I could show that to you biblically. So what I'd like to do, just kind of ending today, I would like to just kind of throw up on the screen a number of verses about joy. And I would like for different people, and I will kind of point to you, and you can kind of read the joy, read the verse. They're all about joy. And I want you to kind of think about it, okay? So can we have the first one here? Dirk, you're in the front row. Okay. Okay, shout joyfully. You get that? We're to shout joyfully because God's worth it. Sometimes we might kind of speak about it. But if you're joyful about something, for example, some of you, maybe Hector and Christian might be an exception to this, but today's Broncos game, if we are leading the Patriots 33-7, there's going to be joy. Actually, it's probably happiness. It's probably going to be happiness because it's going to be temporary, you know, because it could kind of flip in the next 2 quarters or something, you know. But we shout, don't we? We even shout with happiness. But with the Lord, we can shout joyfully. Okay, the next one, Judy. Okay, 3 times you see joy, 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 joyfully, shouting again, okay? Psalm 100, 1 through 2. Luis. Okay, again, the same type of thing here. Next one, Psalm 118, verse 15. How... What's that? Okay. How about Andrea? Okay, great. You know, I like that. The sound of joyful shouting and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. That means in our homes, in our churches, around the world. This should be the, it's just joyful shouting. And you know, this word shouting is so many times I kind of think, wait a minute, it's got to be literal. It can't just be like an example or an allegory or something. There should be times that we're shouting joyfully to the Lord. Okay, how about Psalm 126, verses 5 through 6. I'm kind of looking for people who speak English really well. Stephanie, you're one of those. Yes, you can. Of course you can. I know, you just want the microphone too, and you want to... Okay, great. Thank you. That's right. You know, there may be times we got tears, but we're going to reap with joyful, what does it say again? Shouting. That's right. Psalm 149, verse 5. Hannah, can you see that far? Okay. Okay, even when we're in our beds, even when we're kind of knocked over, we're going to be singing for joy. Now again, joy is different from happiness. Isaiah, I mean, I could probably look at probably another 40 verses just in Psalms. There's probably equally that many in Isaiah. Isaiah 51, verse 11. Carla, Kevin. Okay, I'll get Nicole next. Okay, Kevin. Okay, so sorrow, sighing, flee away. I like this. It says everlasting joy will be on their heads. It's almost like everywhere you go, there's just joy. Kind of just, it's like a cloud around us, just filling you with joy. This is God's will for us. This is His desire. Nicole, I know you wanted to do one. How about the next one? Okay, I like that. You know, you'll go forth with joy, and when we go forth with joy, this is a little bit prophetic of when Jesus comes back. It's talking about how the hills will break forth in shouts of joy, the trees of the field will start clapping their hands, but you know who's going to lead them all? It's going to be us with our joy, because we have everlasting joy on our head. Luke 2, verse 10. Jennifer, I haven't asked you, I don't think. Okay, we've already talked about that. Let's just look at maybe two more. Philippians 4:4. Sarah. Okay, rejoice. The word joy is in there. That means to kind of put out joy in your life. That's what rejoice means. And it says, rejoice in the Lord, how often? Always. That's right. And again, he says, I will say rejoice. And then Acts 13:52. I'll read this one since this is one of my favorite ones. I memorized this when I was maybe in my early 20s. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you need to prime the pump sometimes, just start reading verses about joy. And you realize, hey, that's who God's made. That's how God made me, to be a joyful person. And again, remember that we, of all the people on the earth, those who've been redeemed, those who know the Lord, we are the ones who have access to His joy flowing through us. Okay, one other thing I want us to do before we, I want us to turn around, I want us to stand up first of all, and You know, I like Merry Christmas, but, you know, it's good, but is there something more powerful, something that's not just at Christmas, that's deeper, more impacting? How about we bless one another with, may you know his joy. Why don't you turn around and just tell that to two or three people right now. May you know his joy. In Spanish, it would be, what would be the best way to put that? Okay, let's do it right now. Let's bless one another. May you know his joy. Okay, gracias. May you know his joy. Oh, I'm on the bike. Okay, listen. Let's pray, and then let's do this. We'll start taking up the sound equipment. I think we probably have everyone maybe in these two rooms here. We can set up some tables, and I think Monica's already out there in the kitchen. And remember, at what time on Christmas Eve? 7 o'clock. That's right. A las siete. And what time on Sunday morning? None. That's right. Exactly. Okay. Just want to make sure that we... Okay. Okay. So Saturday we'll do it for both. Okay? Yes. See. Okay. Announcement? Eric? Okay, let's do that.
Her family, you know, in Venezuela, there's a lot of riots and a lot of stuff is going on.
Yeah, it's really bad.
So
okay. Yes, let's do that right now. That would be good. Okay. Well, Father, first of all, we want to thank you for the joy that you give us. Lord, it's supposed to be a defining characteristic of who we are. Lord, forgive us for the times that we go back to the old nature where we grumble and complain and we're resentful. Lord, you have called us to be joyful. And Lord, we ask that you would do that inside of us. Lord, we also ask that this particular week, and really the next couple weeks, and really not just the next couple weeks, but for the rest of our lives, that we would be ambassadors of your kingdom. Lord, your kingdom, which is peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy Spirit. Lord, we also want to pray for Rosemary's family in Venezuela. Wow, Lord, we live in a world where there's chaos going all around. Venezuela is a place where just recently it's gotten worse. Lord, we ask now, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, that you would comfort and protect Rosemary's family, that you would give leaders and the people there wisdom, and that you would bring calm and peace to a place that is in turmoil. Lord, we thank you that you are the only one that can really bring peace. And we ask, Lord, that the church in Venezuela would rise up in this hour to proclaim the good news of peace and joy in a dark world. Thank you, Lord. Amen.